Hey, y'all. It's me, Jess Bubico, and I am excited to be here with you on the Waking Up with Jess podcast. Each week, I'll invite you to wake up to your inner knowingness, get creative, and march to the beat of your own drum in your business and life. We'll dive into different subject areas from business to health to work, relationships, and beyond. On the podcast, we'll get raw, honest, and real, keeping it a little bit personal, a little bit educational, and most importantly, we're going to have a lot of fun. Each episode, you'll feel like you're sitting down at a coffee shop having an intimate conversation with a few of your best friends. Join me each week as I act as your confidant and friend who loves the heck out of you and wants to see you shine. Come along and wake up with a cup of Jess. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I am here to have someone on the podcast I pretty much talk about most weeks. My friend Amanda Foley is here with me today. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Jess. It's good to be here.
Yes. We talk all the time on Voxer, so it's nice to be seeing your beautiful face in person.
Same.
So we are starting off this week, and I am doing something for the next few weeks called the Surrender Series. And the Surrender Series is really about your ability to surrender to your design and allow yourself to start to flow with where your personal energy wants to go. We live in a world on the internet where we have a lot of people kind of giving blanketed how-tos with your human design or how to use it in this way or that way. And I think that's incredible because we need a structure and a framework often to understand something. And I think at times it can limit us to think we have to do something a certain and specific way. And if I've learned anything with human design, it's the importance of, you know, learning from different people, gaining different perspectives, and testing it out for yourself, because human design is supposed to be about experimentation and living the experiment that is your design. So Amanda and I talk a lot about our designs and what it's like to live in our designs. And we're going to be talking today. I'm going to be asking Amanda questions about what it's like to be a sacral generator, living her design, and how she has experienced life and business differently since really living out her experiment of her design. So Amanda, that's what we're in for today.
Very excited.
So do you want to tell everybody before we dive in and I ask you all sorts of questions a little bit about your design, like incarnation cross, profile line? And I know we talk a lot about like loving our design, maybe like what you specifically love about your design.
Sure. So I am a 4-6 sacral generator, right angle cross of the Maya. And what I'll say is that learning my design gave me so much permission to recognize that the way I've always felt is how I'm meant to be, and to stop judging the things that I thought were wrong with me, because I realized they're exactly what I was meant to be and to do. And that, you know, if we think about our soul planning and experience for us to even just accept all of the things that come my way, sort of in the spirit of leaning towards surrender and knowing that things aren't happening to me, they're happening for me in a way that I chose for myself. And so, I mean, there's so many things, and we can obviously dive into the details of it, but it has made so many, you know, not even just things about my own energy, but also experiences within my life make so much more sense to me.
Totally. Yeah. We're going to get into all the stories. I'm curious, how did you come into human design? I don't even think I know this story. How did you discover human design?
Actually, so my friend Bridget, who I've talked to you about before, she at one point back, probably it was like late 2019, and we always go away with a whole group of our friends for New Year's Eve weekend. And she said to me, "Do you know your human design?" And I was like, "No, like, what is that?" Like, and I wasn't particularly interested, but I was like, I always like, you know, personality systems or, you know, whatever. And so she started running our charts. And the most interesting thing I remember about that is that she found out George, my husband, for those who don't know, is a reflector. And that was like very exciting to her because she had never come across a reflector before. But at that point, I didn't really think a whole lot of it because I think she sort of maybe gave me like a high level overview of what it was like to be a generator. But, you know, again, like sometimes we come to the knowledge, we don't know what to do with it. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Right. And like, that was pretty much it. And then I guess, you know, along the way, she probably started sharing things with me. And then at some point, I probably just started to dig a little bit on my own and then came across people like Emma Dunwoody and Katie Calder. And I think I had my first reading with Katie Calder, which would have been, if that was like late 2019, it probably would have been, I almost like a year later at the end of 2020. And it blew my mind because I'm like, how do you, like, I feel like everyone said, how do you know all these things about me? Oh my God, all these things that I thought were wrong are really, you know, the best things about me that I should be embracing. And I kind of feel like from there, it was just like, it was just all downhill. I was like, I was 100% in because I don't think anything had ever made me accept myself in that way before.
Mm-hmm. What specifically do you remember? Was there anything else? I'll say this. I'm trying to remember my to ask you sacral generator yes no questions that you can build on.
That's
was
okay.
There any one thing that stood out to you more than anything else for yourself when you did that first reading?
It's been such a long time now, but you know, I would say the idea of being in response definitely resonated for me, and kind of like where it would be sometimes in certain situations I would feel like I need to find a path forward in some way, even if it was just, I don't know, like a project at work. Sometimes I would sit down and feel really lost and not know where to begin. And understanding that I needed something to respond to was huge for me. The sacral authority really resonated too, because I had had a couple of experiences in my life where I had done things that felt very out of character or illogical, like the year I turned 30, quitting a job, which also then the line six, like that was sort of part of that big aha for me too, is realizing like, oh shit, my life is supposed to sort of have these segments, and seeing that I probably made the biggest sacral decision of my life the year I was 30 and quitting my job, you know, doing that based on a huge shock that had happened in my life too, you know, like all these things start to build on each other and you're like, holy shit, like all of this makes my life make so much sense. But they were probably the biggest things, you know, and again, also understanding that while I could have a lot of energy, why things could make me feel so tired when it wasn't something that I enjoyed or lit me up. So like they were sort of the big things where I was like, okay, now I understand why maybe I'm not like everybody else, or people that I work with that can have the sustained energy for this work and feel like they love it so much, where I would feel exhausted some days, but then, you know, go and do other things and be like, I have infinite energy for this. And just understanding the differentiation between the things that my sacral wanted to put energy towards versus the things that literally drained me of life force.
Yeah. So before you started, like, because I think knowledge is power, right? Like if I know something, then I can make a more conscious choice. Or if I know something, I can understand my own experience so much better. Versus judging ourselves that there's constantly something wrong with us, or that, you know, we can't trust our own self and our own bodily responses. I'd love to know, like, leading up to finding human design, understanding these things about your energy, what was your life like? Because I know you had some like health challenges that you were experiencing. So, because I think for generators, it's so important that the energy is running through your system in the right way. Otherwise, it's like I think about like my uncle has like really old cars, and the wiring in the cars, like they had something go wrong with the air conditioner, but they had to go into the mechanics to go like, oh, it's this exact piece. It's not just the piping. It's the valve that connects to the piping that does this, that does that, right? Because otherwise he could still drive the car, but like the air conditioner wasn't working. And I feel like for generators, especially as it relates to work, because you guys are here to do things that get you excited and make life force energy move through you, it's like, You really do need to understand when, like, the valve inside of your sacral shuts off from joy, because you can drive for a long time without the air conditioner on, but you're going to be sweating to death. You're going to be really uncomfortable, and the car might work, but it's not working at its optimal. And I think, and then, right, you're sweating, and then you get stains on the seats, and you get this kind of stuff. And I feel like for you, for especially for, I think it's for all types, but especially generators, as it works relates to how you're working with your energy in a working capacity, you really need to pay attention to when the air conditioner isn't working right or the motor, and then find the valve and fix it so that the energy continues to run appropriately. And I think that manifests in health problems a lot of the time for generators who are overworked and burned out and not sacrally lit up. So that was very long-winded, but I'm curious, like, what was your health like, and your energy? How was it running through your system before you started making changes?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny to keep with the car metaphor. It's almost like for a generator, putting diesel in a gas engine if you're not using your energy in the right way. And I can see that now, how that was so true for me. And it almost creates these like places of stuck energy within your body. And you know, I think it's sacral, but I also think just even the way the energy flows through our chart as a whole, I can see different areas where it impacted me. I mean, we could have a whole other conversation about health. I mean, I'm a pretty healthy person, but I have had these discrete issues. You know, it's not like I can say like, oh, I had like a huge autoimmune disease or something massive, but I've had all of these different things that have sort of added up that looking back in hindsight, like even into my probably early 20s, at a time where like I was in pharma and just I never felt good about my career. It looked so good on paper. I was like on this upward trajectory. I was making all this money. I was a corporate spokesperson, but I was miserable and afraid every day. Like, I think about that now. I could barely get out of bed in the morning. I would go to work. I'd be so like nervous about what was going to land on my desk. I never felt good about it. I'm like, why do these people think I'm good at this job? Because I feel so inadequate. And at that point, I was diagnosed with hypothyroid condition, Hashimoto's. And so I look back now, I think there's like so many, there were other even personal things in my life, you know, like kind of becoming an adult with your family and establishing boundaries and, you know, my own identity. And I look at sort of all of those things and it makes total sense to me because I'm like, I was not using my voice or my energy in a way that felt good. And I can see now, you know, like why it was very easy. And I always kind of questioned that a little bit because I'm like, you know, like even when I, you know, almost 20 years later, maybe not 20, 15 years later, had a baby. You know, everyone was like, oh, when you're on synthetic thyroid hormone, you're going to need to increase it when you're pregnant. I never did. My dose never needed to change. And I was always kind of like, you know, this is supposed to be kind of progressive. Why is this not changing for me? And so, like, there always were little things within me that I probably just knew better that this really wasn't completely related to a physiological condition, that it had something to do with something else. But you know, in working in healthcare, you just don't even allow yourself to think those things. There's so much cognitive dissonance. That was sort of where it started. Like I had issues getting pregnant, which I see now again. And I don't know, I can't say that I can relate to that to something specifically, but what I can say is my body knew that I was in such a terrible work situation that I could not. Like my body almost wouldn't allow it to happen till I made a big change. And it even took like years after that. And I never did fertility treatments. I didn't do anything. I literally just got pregnant at some point when it was time. Cause I always did trust. I trust those types of things too. Not that I judge what anybody else does, but for me, I felt very comfortable saying like, if this is meant to be, it will happen. And not years later in another awful work situation, my last one before making this big change, I ended up with, not that we need to bring German new medicine into this, but that also makes a lot of this make sense. But like I ended up with melanoma between my shoulder blades, which literally again, like I feel like anxiety, fear, feeling like I was being attacked every day by this client, like all of these things, you know, in between, I had used my energy in a way that felt really good because consulting let me have this like ebb and flow of work where I had some control. Ending up where I did with the melanoma on my back, which thankfully was fine. I have a nice scar, but it was removed and fine. But now I almost realized could that possibly have resolved on its own with the situation? But that's a whole other discussion. But just to say that, you know, I look back and I had a long period of really great health when I was in a situation where even though I didn't love the work, I felt like I had choice. And when I got back to a place where I lost that choice again, and I felt very out of control and burnt out, it started to come back. And shortly after that, I see now, like, this was just kind of a good entree into surrender. Situationally, I was forced to make a choice that was like a really difficult one, but also like a really easy one, if not mentally, just even within my soul and from my sacral.
Totally. I'm like looking at stuff in the background of like your chart and just thinking about it because there's so many things you said. So for anybody who's not familiar with German New Medicine, it's really fascinating. Dr. Melissa Sell, I really like her stuff. If anybody wants to check her out, S-E-L-L. She's
another rabbit hole.
It's another rabbit hole you could go down. It's funny, as you were talking about the fear of being attacked with the melanoma, this is just an insight I just had. I'm like, you know, I've had skin problems my whole life and I've had so much fear of being attacked by others that I'm like, of course my skin was not good. And even like one of my big fears that I've had, and I actually started to think about this with like the back acne that I've posted about on Instagram the other day, is like, I've had a very big fear of being stabbed in the back because I've been stabbed in the back before. And I'm like, oh, of course my back is flares up with acne because I've had a fear that I'm going to be stabbed in the back. And so I've been actually tapping on that of like, and if I am, it's, you know, how many, I start to talk to more and more people and you start to see these very human fears of like, how many people are afraid of being betrayed? How many people are afraid of being rejected? And you go, oh, this is like all part of the human experience.
Oh yeah.
But one of the things that I found interesting of, with what you were just saying, as I was thinking about, this isn't necessarily where I thought we were going to go today. We'll definitely get into like the surrendering part, but I do think that this is all about surrendering to your design in general. So it fits with the theme, but you know, I started to think about, you have two channels in your chart. So you have the 4323, which I'm just reading this off of humdesk.info, but I like some of their stuff. It's the energy of transformation of mental insight into words. You are the one whose thoughts are always one step ahead. You're able to see, discover something new for optimization in familiar things and models, which is interesting because so much of what you've stepped into is, we can't do, you know, you do PR for people who are disruptors. And it's like, you knew when you were in pharma, I'm sure, this doesn't work and this is not good for people. And so you were a step ahead, which probably kept you mentally in your head. I know you couldn't sleep and you had sleep challenges.
Oh yeah,
and
it's I like, forgot about that one. Yes.
Yeah, like, right, it creates this cognitive dissonance that if we just simply think of this thing that we have as a car, like, your valve was off, right? And or you weren't using it appropriately, or, you know, you're blasting the heat in the summertime or whatever. And then I think about the 515, and it's the same website. It says the energy of movement along the river of life in conjunction with its flow, acting through inner guidance, you catch your natural rhythm and then life passes for you easily and without resistance. So it's like, you always know you're very good now. And I think this can actually nicely segue too into these two channels and how you use them in your work in PR now, because I would say two things that you excel at that you always teach me is like, you don't pitch if your energy is not there. Like, and when I say pitch, she doesn't pitch her clients for PR if the energy isn't there that day. Right. Which to me is like, the energy of moving along the river in conjunction with its flow, acting from your inner guidance. You've had these like almost like quote unquote seemingly miraculous placements for your clients when you just were like, I'm going to follow my intuition, right? And then the same thing with the 2343, this ability to go like, I need to see and discover something in a new way for optimization in familiar things and models. So, you know, you work with somebody on money, you work with somebody who's in healthcare, you work with these different people who are conceptualizing new ways of doing things. So I think it's really neat too to be able to, you know, you're living proof of like, yeah, I'm just living my design. And when I do, I'm attracted to the right clients. My sacral's saying yes to disruptors and no to maybe people who are doing something in the same way it's been done before. So anything you want to share about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, there's so much. It's interesting too. It's funny. I always kind of forget about my 43-23, which, you know, a lot of people lovingly call the freak to genius. And it's interesting because that's my, so the 23 is my south node and the 43 is my north node on both sides of my chart, which is kind of fascinating when you think about like moving from the 20, that 23 to the 43, the insight. And I, you know, like there's so many things, like even when I think about a year or two ago, some of the things that I work on now, I would have been almost afraid to share with certain people. But again, knowing when the time, the projection in that channel, knowing when the time is right to share certain things that people may not even necessarily be able to completely comprehend, but also knowing when you're open to planting that seed. So that's super, super interesting to me too. And the sleep thing you mentioned, which I had forgotten about, because it's funny, like now I don't think about that as an issue anymore, but it was so much about using my energy in the wrong way. Like I would be physically exhausted and not be able to sleep. And so it's interesting for me to think about, you know, like that period of my life, which was a long period of my life. I remember having sleep issues as a kid. And also, you know, just like knowing that I was so tired, but I couldn't sleep. And then getting in my head, you get in your head about it too. So there's like just a little bit of a, I don't know, sleep is such a crazy thing when you think about it. But overall, what I'll say is like about the energy in general is that that it was a big surrender for me too. And it makes me also think of the 42, which is detaching from expectations, which we're in right now, I think. So it's interesting to me because when I look at the fact that I never would have trusted that before, like that's another big gift that human design gave to me, was learning to trust my energy and where it wanted to go. And I see now that it opens the channel for more things to come in when I am not trying to force things out. And it doesn't mean I'm like, oh, I'm not going to work for 2 weeks, because you know, that's not always sustainable. But even if I do it in little chunks and I just do what feels good. So I'm not always great. And this is like, I think a lot of the 515 channel as well. I'm not great at keeping a schedule and I don't really like to have a very regimented schedule. So it's not like I pitch this person on Tuesdays or even I pitch on Tuesdays. It's just, it's different every day. And I've learned to actually really accept the fact that I'm not going to know what each day is going to bring. And in some ways I like that more, because when I think about periods in my life where I, you know, would like have to get up and, you know, make Geo lunch for school and put him on the bus and like do those things, like none of which we do now because he goes to private school online at home. And it's so wonderful because I kind of get up. I mean, I have to walk Bridget the dog because she's the queen of the house, obviously. But beyond that, I'm like, do I feel like starting to work at 9 today or 10 or, you know, or 6:30? I kind of can do whatever I want to do, which actually allows me to work that way. And so that's something that I've always loved about consulting that I lost in that last little window before I moved over to this way of working, because I had a lot of flexibility for a long time. And then I had this client that was all, you know, just all encompassing, where I'd wake up to emails from the UK and be going to bed with emails from the West Coast, and it never went away. And I felt like I had lost any autonomy over my life. And so I start to look at all of those things and how they've impacted me. And now I just implicitly trust that I'm being led where I need to go. Even like when I think about calling what I do intuitive PR, I literally just feel into what I'm looking at within my media list. Like, no, today's not the day for that. Yes, today's the day for that. So it's kind of like I do a lot of sacral yes, no, even as I work on a daily basis. So it kind of just pervades every aspect of my life at this point.
Totally. I think that what's really interesting with all of this, as you're talking, I think, and this is just a point for anybody who's listening, I think the first thing is it takes serious trust in the universe, in yourself, that you were wired to be abundant in your design. Because when I look at what you're saying and like hear what you're saying, you have attracted in all clients up until this point who are capable, like they want you to, they give you the autonomy to pitch in that way where they go, I trust you. You get me great results. And I love what you're doing. And I trust that you, if you continue doing this, it's going to bring fruitfulness. They're not like, please tell me every hour that you sat down, that you worked on my thing. They're like, hey, you know, whatever.
And
And I
that
think,
kinks the hose, like when the client, and that's it's, I've learned that, as you know, like recently with certain clients, that like the if there are clients that want to hold on to things really tightly and know when things are coming or be able to predict things, PR is not for you. I realize that now, like even my ability to work this way is critical to my success in PR, because I think it is just, it's in some ways an art, even as much as it is like a discipline. And you have to just be able to flow with it because it is not predictable. There's so much that's outside of your control. And it's really important to, for me, to have clients that appreciate it. And I think it lets me deliver much better results when they're not breathing down my neck.
Totally. I think too, one of the and this might be like a little bit of a random side note, but as you're saying that, like one of the things I think that is easy to get caught in is that we have inconsistent energy every day. Like our energy is going to change. So you might have the 43-23 today and the 15-5 every single day you're going to have it. But you might also have like the 25-51 one day because we've been in that transit for the last couple of weeks. I don't think we're in it anymore, but we were in it, right? And then you might have something that connects your head and your ajna together for like, or another channel in your connect your head and ajna together. And so it can be confusing when we get these energetic surges from the transits that can make us go like, oh my God, you know, I have this energy to get today or whatever it may be. But I actually think that we can continue to look at what is consistent because like as an example for me, you know, I started copywriting last year for other people and I started out doing, you know, all kinds of copywriting for other people. Like, oh, I'll do your website, I'll do your this, I'll do your that. But when I look at my own chart, like I've got what comes from the throat or comes from everything for me comes from the G center to the throat. And all of those energies, like the 10-20 is like speaking about living from your true self and living from your design. And the 1-8 is all about creative expression. So for me, it's like oh, I like writing long form content even more, and that's consistent. That's something that even if I'm not in an urge as a manifester, which I'll talk about in another podcast, but even if I'm not in an urge, I can always muster up that energy because it's consistent for me. Versus I think we can get ourselves in trouble when we're like in a transit or we have energy one day that's not there the next day, and then it gets confusing, which is why I think it's so important to really focus, like use the other energies, like we talk about, I talk about with Jenny, like use those energies almost as a catalyst for like healing and transformation of those archetypes within the self, but then use your actual mechanics and dynamics for consistent and reliable energy, especially if you're like, if you have a business, but let's say you don't have a business and you just want to like find a job. You know, of some kind within another organization, you can be like, oh, I need the autonomy and freedom, like Amanda's saying, to work when the energy is there and not work when the energy isn't there.
Yeah, and that's very much the 5:15 for me. I too, like I think about how that energy flows, and it's sort of like that five wanting the consistency or the structure, or like also needing to be patient for when that energy is going to flow, and then the 15 saying like slow down. So I, in some ways, I feel they pull back and forth on one another, but then in other ways, I feel like they are sort of this like this supportive channel. Like, but I it's a it that's been an interesting one for me to come to terms with. Quickly on your point about the transits, I used to be like really focused on the transits and how they impacted me personally, especially with the 6124, when the 24 would be lit up. And I have the three format gates on the sacral side, but nothing in my root. And so, like, I would always be looking, do I have format energy today? Is that gonna, but I realized, because sort of to your point, I tend to now view the transits as more of a the collective energy versus trying, because I think it can put a lot of we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves to try and be like, I have this now. I need to go and, you know, I need to meditate for 2 hours because I have the 6124 let up. And I used to do that to myself. And I don't think that that's necessarily productive. And then one thing
Totally.
I'll say too, based on what you also said, was that I don't have a lot of defined centers either. And so I think sometimes people think generators, you know, are going to have this like 24/7 energy, which we can. But I also, you know, I have one motor. So I just have the sacral. And I feel like a lot of my energy is also in my ajna. So a lot of it is mental energy versus physical energy. And so sometimes I think there's also a misperception that we're going to have this like go, 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 like never sit down. And I think as generators, we also need to give ourselves permission to surrender to our energy in that way too. Like when we need to rest, it's really important to allow ourselves to rest.
Totally. Yeah. I love that because it does make a difference, the number of motors that you have. I think that the sacral, in my experience of people with the sacral, there's a definite difference between somebody who has the 3420, which is the sacral right to the throat, and somebody who has a sacral center not connected to the throat or indirectly connected to the throat. And I find that, like, even I know we've talked about it. I feel like the will center, even though it accounts, I think, for only like 20% of the energy in the chart or something like that, that will center, when it, like, for me, when I freaking decide something, I'm like, I'll see you later. I'm gonna go and do this, you know? Or if I'm on an emotional high, like, I can get really far and I have those two. But I think, like you're saying, for you, it's like you have the sacral, which is very powerful. And I think it's very powerful when it's being used on tasks it enjoys and finds satisfaction on. So, like, what I've noticed of you is, like, you made me those beautiful earrings, and you were like, this is lighting me up, and therefore I'm gonna get these done. Like, you sat and you did them pretty quickly on Easter, you know? Like, so I think it's also contextual to be able to say, like, when I'm lit up, that energy does really work the way it
Yeah, it can
needs
work
to.
really hard. Exactly.
Yes.
It has to know where it's going. And I don't, I mean, obviously I would be a manifesting generator if I had that channel straight through because I go from the sacral straight up to the ajna, but my split is between my throat and the G. And so I don't have that energy to the throat
Yeah.
either, even though I have a defined throat.
Which is, again, why it's so important contextually for us to, like, all work with each other, because when we work with each other, you know, we get energy that we wouldn't have access to otherwise. And we all have different gifts. Like, you're super good at structuring things where I'm like, I don't know.
And
Like,
I
I'd
don't
rather
even feel
follow
that
someone else's
sometimes either. So
structure.
it's, yeah, it's interesting, but it's maybe
Yeah.
it's like what I think of structure or I've always thought of as structure is not really what structure has to be
Yeah.
either. You know, it's like I think we feel like I have to be able to be like a project manager and do, and I'm not super good at those types of details. And I think like even with to go into my activation sequence, having that 62 as my evolution also is something I've always struggled with because I felt like I needed to get into the details, but it didn't feel good to me. And
Yeah.
so finding that balance of like knowing enough and going being detailed enough without actually letting it sidetrack me into like to the point where I get nothing accomplished either.
Totally. Is there anything that you found has shifted for you? I know we've talked about this before on the podcast, but is there anything you've noticed that's shifted for you in terms of strategy and authority and how that's played out personally and professionally?
I mean, we were just talking about I mean, authority has become really easy for me. Like I said, I've made some pretty big decisions based on my sacral, even in hindsight, that I see were like the best decisions for me, even ones that didn't have a lot of logic or reason behind them or looked really kind of like wacky to other people. But from a strategy perspective, like you and I were just talking about this the other day about how I'm like, you know, sometimes you as a generator can feel like you're not taking action, right? So I'm like, you know, I know, like, I kind of know, and also even just looking at my incarnation cross, I'm like, it makes so much, and my culture, it makes so much sense why I want to work with these types of clients that I feel called to work with that are kind of taking these industries and like shifting them from within and taking these, you know, really, you know, like paradigm shifting perspectives on systems and beliefs that we've all had and held for a long time. But when I think about, you know, like how do I find these people without going out and selling, right? So it's like, it's, you know, even when I pitch sometimes from a strategy perspective, I realized it's so much more helpful when I'm in response to something. So it's like, even if I listen to 15 minutes of somebody's podcast, I can be like, oh, I heard you talk about this, or I love the way you covered this. And I feel more in response to something when I'm reaching out, because otherwise it can feel like initiating in some ways. So I've had to sort of figure out ways around that. But when I think about trying to find new clients, it can also feel overwhelming because a lot of the clients that I tend to want to work with are not ones that I can just be like, oh, I'm going to go to like a networking event, because they're not all in one place, right? Like they work in different industries, or they could be completely in, you know, like disparate places where I might find them. Or if I was like, I want to work with all coaches, I could easily go to a networking event and meet, you know, 100 of them in one shot. So that started to kind of mess with my mind a little bit. But then when we talked about, you know, like even being able to reach out to someone and say, like I did this week, like I saw your episode on this and I feel so moved by what you're doing, and not asking for anything or initiating anything, but just connecting with people at that level where it's saying like, I see and I recognize what you're doing. Here's why this is so important to me, and I believe in your work, and then allowing whatever might want to come back as a result of that to give me something to respond to. So it's hard, because I think, you know, we're trained to say like, go out and say, well, here, I love what you're doing. I do PR. I could help you. I know I could get you out there. And I just feel like that would just block the flow of energy right there. So it's, I've been playing with this, as you know, and it, you know, we'll see where it goes.
I personally think too, this is where it comes into trust, because you mm-hmm. know that as a generator, you need things to respond to. And you know that you really, through podcasts, can feel that. So I think when we look at, even just from a business perspective, like when we look at strategies for marketing, we can say to ourselves like, oh, this, yeah, everybody's saying that you should cold DM people. Whatever, you know, like,
I hate when people do that to me. Yeah. So like, I don't want to be that person either for yes. multiple reasons.
Well, and I think that's something that we need to always trust in ourselves too, is like, that doesn't feel good to me. So me cold DMing people doesn't work. But if you actually look back consistently at how you have found clients in the past, or clients have found you, it's mostly been through you responding either to people's podcasts mm-hmm. or you responding to a post someone made. It's mm-hmm. always in response, and right. by you being immersed in their energy to be able to feel, yep, like that. No, don't like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about this because, you know, you had an experience where you like reached out to somebody and you were like, it didn't pan out the way you thought it was going to, because you were like, hi, I like you and I can do your PR based, not exactly,
but
like
no,
that.
But in and out, yeah, energetically, in, yes, that's what
energetically,
I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, versus when you reach out to somebody and you're like, hi, I really enjoy your message. Let me know how I can support you. It opens an energetic doorway where they're like, oh, do I like what she's saying to me? Yes, I do. And then it opens a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I think we naturally, especially as entrepreneurs, we go like, well, how do I get clients? And then what that does is it puts us into scarcity. Not saying mm-hmm. you were in scarcity, because I don't think you were in scarcity with that person.
No, but
I think
it's also, I'm always
excited.
Like, where's the next one coming from, right? Like you start to think, you do, we think in that way.
Yeah. And when you realize that when you're just being yourself, you naturally attract it in. But again, mm-hmm. it's trust.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, just as a like silly example, and we'll start to wrap up here, is like, I said something to my friends a while back. I'm like, I want to be the doodle babe. Like, I just want to, all I want to do is walk. I just want to walk dogs so that I don't have to buy one for myself. And I went on my platform at my apartment complex. And I just informed, I was like, hi, I love dogs, but I don't want one because I want to travel. I would like to walk your furry friends. And like, all of a sudden, like all these things started coming in, right? And then like other opportunities from other places. But I did it in the spirit of joy and fun, and I like this versus I need this,
Yes.
otherwise I'm gonna die, you know? And I would say for anybody out there who's an entrepreneur, sorry to take a little turn, but for anybody out there who's an entrepreneur who is thinking to themselves like, oh, I really need money and goes into desperation, I would recommend, this might not feel good for everyone, and this might be a very fourth line thing, so I'm gonna just say that. But I think when you come from scarcity and desperation, people feel it. So it's very important. Like for me, what that looks like to not come from scarcity and desperation is to have multiple irons in the fire. So I've got my little doodle babe walking situation over here. I've got my copywriting over here. I have this business here. I have something else I'm working on here, which might stress out someone else. But for me, allows me to go, I don't have to come from scarcity in this business. I can just come from expansion.
And we've talked about before even how sometimes there's ways to find opportunities to feel good the way you want to feel within your current job without having to quit either. And what I'll say for generators, and I think this is probably the hardest thing if you want to talk about surrender that I have found, although there's surrender all over my chart in terms of even just like slowing down and allowing, which I realize now makes life a lot easier, even though it's very hard to adopt that approach. It's just that, like, you know, when you're in these periods of the plateau or the void or whatever we want to call, I've started calling it the magic dark, like from To Be Magnetic, because that actually feels more positive to me because it makes me feel like I'm moving through something, like almost like I'm in my own little eclipse in that moment. And what I've realized is that as a generator, we don't always see all the next, like we don't always see the ultimate goal or the destination. We have to keep taking trusting steps. And so I think, you know, I think with all the types, there's some degree of surrender, but I will say as a generator, like I've learned the value of surrender because it allows the next steps to come in more quickly. Where I feel like the more we search or the more we just don't allow like those voidy feelings to move through us and just accept that that's where we are in the moment, it makes it a lot harder to see, you know, or even have the things come in to respond to. So I feel like there is a lot of value in learning to surrender, even in the smallest of ways. And you know, and then you I think become you build the muscle. And then when the big things come, as I've had many big things over the last few years where I've had to surrender, you can see like it really allows you to quantum leap too.
Yeah, absolutely. Without having to go like, I have to risk it all and do all this.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do, and
It's a
sometimes you
different type
do,
of quantum leap.
but
It's not
it's a,
like quit your job quantum leap. It's literally like even consciousness
timeline
or
shift.
yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
you totally shift you shift timelines almost like instantaneously. You're like, oh, I was working two different jobs and suddenly as I trusted something came in and now I'm 100% fully doing the thing that I want to do.
Exactly. Without looking for it, like I couldn't have made certain things happen the way that they did circumstantially had I not just allowed them to happen.
A million percent. Totally. Okay. Well, I think this is the perfect place to wrap. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And if you're looking for PR and you're a disruptor in your industry doing something different in a traditional industry, doing it in a new way, reach out to Amanda. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll see you guys back here on the next episode of the podcast.
Hey, hey. Thanks so much for being here and listening to this episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast. If you liked today's episode, I'm going to ask you to do one of three things. Number one, leave a rating. Number two, leave a review. And number three, if you think it could help a friend out in need, go ahead and send it to them. I greatly appreciate your support. When you rate the podcast or leave a review, it helps other awesome and amazing listeners such as yourself find the podcast. And I love people and I love friends and I love people's friends. So being able to spread the love through your network is another really great way to support people and to support the show. All right, y'all, make it a great day. And I will see you back here on the next episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast.